The following is a paid advertisement of St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedics. References to any specific product, services, or entity does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by St. Anthony Hospital, Carroll Broadcasting, or its advertisers. The views expressed by the host or guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. Welcome to the St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedic Show with Dr. Richard Godding. Dr. Godding specializes in joint preservation, reconstruction, and replacement surgery, and brings over 25 years of orthopedic excellence to St. Anthony Hospital and to the Carroll area. For more information about Dr. Godding, his practice, or St. Anthony Orthopedics, go to stanthonyhospital.org or make an appointment by calling 712-794-5536.
Good Sunday morning, Iowa. It's Dr. Rick Godding. Thank you very much for choosing to spend a little bit of time here with me today. And thanks for all of you who came out last Tuesday night to the Santa Maria Winery. And my apologies to those who heard on the show here that it was at 6 and it really started at 5:30. I had my wires a little crossed. But it was nice. Dr. Dirks and I were able to, you know, we talked a little bit about, well, we talked all about computer-navigated. My talk was essentially the evolution of computer navigation into robotic surgery and where it is. I didn't talk about where I think it might go, but we didn't really have all that much time for all that. And then I talked about the application for total knees, in other words, how the Mako works for total knees. And then Dr. Dirks talked about total hips, which makes sense because I don't do total hips. We both do knees, and I do not do the hips. I'm a shoulder and knee guy. Anyway, it was really nice. It was nice to see people out and to interact with people and answer some questions. And I always enjoy that. And I enjoy sort of when people want to take the time to do something like that. You know, we want to make sure that they get a really good story out of it and a good that they're informed significantly more than they were before they chose to spend that time coming over. So, you know, it was something that I hadn't really, you know, I haven't talked about it on the show in a very long time, maybe ever, sort of I probably have. Gosh, I've been doing the show now for, this January is, wow, I'm going to say this is 8 years. Could that be right? It's either 7 or 8. So, wow, that's crazy. It's, you know, and I never would have thought that I would have a radio show weekly for 8 years. But here we are. And once again, thanks for being here. So I talked a bit about the evolution of going from computer navigation into robotics. And then today I'll talk about where I think things might go and kind of where they are and all that. So the way knee replacements, and I'm going to talk about knees because I think it's a little bit more dramatic in the knee than it is for the hip. It doesn't mean it may be more useful because let me give you the background and then I'll give you kind of where it is and what the robotic thing actually does, what the huge advantage is for the knee and the hip. And then you can kind of see that they're pretty different applications if you get down to the technicalities. So when I was training, you know, the only option was in the U.S. was doing the old style of, you would put the rod up into the femur and then you'd cut 5 degrees off the end of it and then you'd put a jig either down into the tibia or around the ankle and you would cut 90 degrees to that and then you would balance out the ligaments. I've talked about this before and so the big advantage of the knee aspect of it is you don't have to do that ligament disbalancing. So that's this tremendous advantage. And also, you know, it used to be that we would talk about that the margin of error, and they had done studies on this, so they'd take cadaver bone and they would measure out how close you can actually get to where you're going, where you're cutting, And they said that the margin of error was 2 or 3 degrees, depending on the study, in using these jigs, especially on the tibia. So, you know, you basically had a limitation on how accurate you could be, and now you're accurate to the millimeter and to the degree. So anyway, so I'll get back to that in a little bit more detail, but when I was in New York City doing my residency, that's all I had ever seen. And then I went down to Australia to do my fellowships, and one of the surgeons had this kind of a novel approach where he would put a clamp on the end of the femur, and then he had literally a metal pole, and then he would bring X-ray into the room, and he would line that metal pole up in the center of the femoral head in the hip. So the femur has the head up there, that's the ball part of the hip, and then it comes down, and it's the top of the knee joint. And so again, I'm going to get back to this. The whole idea of that was mechanical alignment. So you're trying to line up the leg mechanically perfectly, then you put the knee in, and then you balance out the ligaments to make sure that it functions properly. And I'll talk more about the limitations of that later. So anyway, so one of my people in my fellowship, there were three main teachers in my fellowship, and these guys were really superstars. People would come from, well, there was one kid from England when I was there with me, and they had people from certainly all over Australia, but most of the time they would have people coming from Europe or the U.S. because they were not just innovative. The number of cases they could do in a day was something that, there was a really famous clinic in Vail. It was the Stedman Hawkins Clinic, Dr. Stedman and Dr. Hawkins. Stedman was a knee guy. Hawkins was a shoulder guy. The guy I did my fellowship with did more knees and shoulders put together. In other words, Stedman would do, you know, maybe 800 shoulders a year or 800 knees a year, and Hawkins would do maybe 600 shoulders a year, and my fellowship director would do more than those guys put together on his own. He would do 1,600 surgeries a year, which sounds just crazy, but we were very efficient. He would run 2 rooms on a day, and he'd do 35 cases every Friday, every single Friday, and then we would also operate on Tuesday and then a lot of Saturdays. So it was just a lot of operating going on. So anyway, people would go down there to get that experience and then also to have a little time in Australia. That was great. But so the fellowship director used this metal rod, and then one of the other guys used computer navigation. And I had never heard of computer navigation. I didn't really know anything about it. And what it was you would put these infrared reflectors in the bones, same thing we do now. So it's all come from this original platform. You'd put these reflectors in the bones, and then you would take, it looks kind of like a pen with reflectors on the back of that, and you would take a bunch of essentially points of data about the surface of the knee, and then you would rotate the hip and get the center of the hip. And again, it was all an exercise in getting the mechanical alignment proper. And the idea was that you would reduce the outliers that would occur, because everybody got a 5-degree cut at the knee, but everybody's knee wasn't 5 degrees away from their hip. So you would reduce those outliers by using this computer navigation. But it didn't address the flaws in the actual idea of mechanical alignment in and of itself. But it was still, I mean, compared to sticking a metal rod up in the femur, it was more accurate. And so that's what we did. And it was, you know, I thought, oh, this is the greatest thing ever. And it was very good. And so when I got to Kauai, you know, I was at that point in my life, I had wanted to live in Hawaii for so long. And I did my internship out there, my general surgery internship in Honolulu. And I visited the island of Kauai, which is the westernmost of the major islands. And there's only about 70,000 people on Kauai. But I said, man, I would love to live here. And so I decided if I was married, I would move to Kauai. And if I was single, I would go to Oahu, because Kauai, you know, had a more limited number of potential spouses. So, you know, I wasn't married, but my wife had been to Australia with me, and I knew I was going to ask her. I wanted to ask her on Kauai and get married on Kauai. So I did all that. Anyway, so I was in this small, would be like one of the smaller county hospitals here in Iowa, and on the west side of the island. Then on the east side of the island, there was a bigger hospital that was, I would say, it's kind of about like the size of St. Anthony. So it was a bigger hospital, and they had actually 75 active beds. And so it was big, and they had three orthopedic surgeons. So when I moved over there, those guys weren't very happy at all. And I said, well, here's, so I was the first orthopedic surgeon at that hospital full-time ever. They had had someone who came over and did a few cases, but they never had anybody full-time. So I said, well, you know, how are we going to go? You got a guy who's really got not any real Kauai connections, and you know, how are we going to get out in front? I said, well, let's do computer navigation. I really think it's a good thing to do, and people will say, hey, you know, there's an advancement. And so we did that. We were the first hospital in the state of Hawaii to do computer navigation in this little hospital on the west side of Kauai. And that was really huge. And I built up a good practice. And then over the next several many years, the hospital just kept going through management changes, and none of them were improvements. And the doctors kept leaving, the primary care doctors. And so, you know, my practice, which is always, I mean, you have to have some referrals. You know, your reputation can take you so far, but if you don't have any referrals, or, well, it's not that I didn't have any, we just didn't have any doctors. I had referrals from the doctors at our hospital, but the other hospital had its own medical clinic, and they weren't referring me anything because that was all business, right? So anyway, time to leave Kauai, and I went for a couple of years in Champaign and Urbana before I came here to Iowa. And in that time, I went through a phase where I was doing these custom jigs. So they would make the jig off a CT scan, and you'd clip the cutting jig to the end of the bones in order to make your cuts more accurately for, again, more accurate mechanical alignment. And so, you know, I did that for a while, and then I realized, you know, I don't really know that this is doing a whole lot better. A lot of the insurances weren't paying for it. So I kind of let that go and went back to just kind of doing traditional knee replacements. And then I found out about the Mako robot, and everything changed. And that's about when I got here. It'll be 6 years coming up here, finishing up my fifth year. August will be 5 full years I've been here in Carroll. And when I got here, you know, they said, well, what kind of equipment would you like? I said, well, I'd like a Mako robot. And so they got it for me. And so the Mako robot is the biggest difference is we're not trying to mechanically align the entire limb perfectly and then release ligaments in sort of an artful fashion. I mean, literally, it's, I'll do a little bit. Yeah, maybe a little bit more. That feels good. Yeah, maybe a little bit more. Yeah, that feels good. I mean, that's what you do. Well, what I'm doing with the Mako is I'm putting the knee in a position that is the most functional for your own anatomy. So the end of your femur might be 7 degrees or 3 degrees as opposed to 5 degrees from the center of your hip, right? That might be, I mean, everybody's not exactly the same. So we were introducing knees into people based on averages rather than based on their own personal anatomy. And so, you know, now what we can do is, number one, we're working off a 3D CT scan as opposed to, you know, working off an X-ray. And that's just a tremendous amount of more information. I mean, imagine it's the difference between a photograph and a movie, really. I mean, it's just like there's that much more. Like if you had a photograph of a car versus a movie going around the car looking at every angle, you know, and you only have two photographs. You have a front and a side photograph of the knee, basically, when you have these X-rays. So you just don't have that much information. And your ability, like I said, to put the blocks exactly where you wanted them, even based on the fact that you're using less information because you're using an X-ray, even that is limited by the fact that the jigs themselves have a margin of error in them. Whereas with the robot, I mean, it's so accurate that we don't even have to cement the knees in anymore. We press fit them in because the fit is so good that you can actually hammer it on and it's solid immediately. And then the bone grows into the back of it as opposed to cementing it on because, you know, the cuts weren't as accurate. And so it's a completely different concept. So we're, instead of doing mechanical alignment, it's called kinematic alignment. It's not exactly the way the textbooks on kinematic alignment are written. It's more nuanced because we're able to incorporate in the tension on the ligaments, because we'll put the ligaments on the tension that makes them the most appropriate for the function of the knee during the operation. We'll basically click the button and then that angle for the saw is locked in and it can't vary. The robot is that accurate. And so when the robot's making the cuts, there's no cutting jig on the end because it doesn't need it, because the robot arm is just accurate to less than a millimeter and less than a degree. So you've changed not just that we're cutting. And that's the one thing is I want people to really understand. It's not just that we're doing the operation more accurately. We're doing it completely differently. It is a whole different concept in how the knee is being put in. And the results from the Mako robot compared to a non-robotic knee are dramatically better. There's no question anymore. You know, but not every hospital can afford a $1.5 million robot, you know. And so we're very happy that St. Anthony's was able to and made the right decision to buy the best robot as opposed to the competitors, which are all about a quarter to a fifth of the price and don't do nearly the same level of things because there's so many patents that the Mako has that at least for the next 10 years or so, there won't. I don't think anything's going to be able to touch the Mako. On the hip side, the Mako it allows you to put the socket, the cup, they call it, the acetabular cup. So it's a ball and socket on the hip. It lets you put the cup exactly where it needs to be. Then, you know, you can use it to cut the femur. I think most people don't, but there's a little less. That's a little, I mean, you're just looking right at it, and you really, you're able to do that pretty well. And then once you put it in, though, then you can check to the millimeter the difference in the leg length. It'll tell you this leg is 3 millimeters longer than it was before we started the case, and it's 1 millimeter longer than the opposite side. And you would take that all day long, right? But you might find that it says it's 10 millimeters longer, and then you can correct for that. Now, I'm getting into a little bit of nuance here. In a hip replacement, sometimes you have to leave the leg long. You just have to, because that's just how the ligaments allow it to be stable. What you cannot have is an unstable hip. You don't want an unstable hip. So if you've had a hip replacement done by any surgeon and your leg is a little long and they say, well, that's how I had to do it, that's the truth. That's 100% correct. Sometimes they just got to make it a little long. And so I don't do hips. I do hip fractures, of course, plenty of hip fractures, actually, and partial replacements. But I don't do full replacements for arthritis anymore. And it never was a large part of my practice, actually. The point is that the cup or the socket side is just the critical aspect of getting it exactly right. And it's really a lot more accurate with the Mako robot. And I've seen really good hip surgeons who do lots and lots and lots of hips, put cups in that look terrible on x-ray afterwards. Not with the Mako, but with the old way of doing it, which is basically you got to make sure that pelvis is exactly perpendicular to the floor. And that can be tough, especially in a heavier patient, because they can move 2 or 3 degrees, 5 degrees, and you might not notice it. And then all of a sudden, you have a metal thing that you're basically eyeballing with the floor. And then you're pounding that cup in, and you're hoping that the pelvis hasn't moved. And that the patient's original anatomy, since you're most of the time only working off an x-ray, not a 3D CT scan, you're hoping that the patient's original anatomy, that their acetabulum actually is at that average position. So, you know, things still are always going to happen. But with the Mako, it just reduces the number of problems that you have. It makes, you know, I always say I've done, you know, well over 2,000 knees, and the last 500 or so have been here with the Mako. And I used to, until I started using the Mako, I would do manipulation under anesthesia. That's where they take you back in and press your knee to bend it in the operating room. They just put you to sleep and do that because it's not bending properly. And that's a function of a mechanically aligned knee and ripping all the ligaments off and those things having trouble healing and all that stuff. I used to do that one in 10 cases, you know, maybe not, somewhere between 1 in 10 and 1 in 15 cases. So pretty well, once or twice a month easily, I was manipulating knees. In the 500 knees that I've done since I got here, I've manipulated, I think, 2. Certainly 1, and I think maybe 2. And it's not, you know, it's just a function of how we're doing it. It's a different approach, and it's more accurate, and it is taking into account all those things like ligamentous laxity and all that, and it's working with the 3D CT scan, and it's just day and night. So anyway, that's kind of what we went over in that talk, if you missed it. And Yeah, it was very nice. And if you have questions about Mako, you can go on the website and just look up Mako hip or Mako knee, and you can find that out. Also, just wanted to remind everybody that I am in Audubon Hospital every week now. I'm doing some outreach out there. And the rest of the time I'm in Carroll. You know, Dr. Dirks and I are really enjoying working together, and he is a superstar of a young surgeon. He is very, very, very good and very, very, very dedicated to doing the right thing for his patients. I mean, he's from here, so these are, you know, he's taking care of his community in a way that I don't know how many orthopedic surgeons in towns this size there are in America. I can't imagine there's that many that have come back to their own hometown to practice just right out of the gates. And so it's really exciting to be part of that, because I feel that too. I mean, I love my patients, and we want to make sure we do every single thing right every time. And together we're able to do some bigger cases that would be a lot harder for just one person. And so it's just been great. And I'm super happy to have him. And he's a great addition to the hospital staff and the community, or a re-addition to the community, as it were. But we are here if you want to come out and see us, and we'd be happy to see you. But if you just want to use this information to help you get a more informed amount of care wherever you're getting your care, I think that's pretty cool too. So once again, thank you all for joining me here today, and you have a blessed week, Iowa.
This has been the St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedic Show with Dr. Richard Godding. For more information about Dr. Godding, his practice, or St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedics, go to www.stanthonyhospital.org or make an appointment by calling 712-794-5536.